Good morning.
Good morning.
To Dean Wells and to President Dockery in his absence, to staff, faculty of this institution, and to you, my fellow students, it is indeed a privilege and a pleasure for me to be here with you today. I certainly want to thank those who provided the music this morning. It was uplifting and comforting. And if some of you can get the phone number of that pianist, I'd like to take her to dinner. Amen. I've received instructions from Dean Wells. I'm not supposed to be loud. Loud is not good, so I'll try to speak softly. I'll also try not to be lengthy. I understand that we all have something else to do for 11 o'clock, so I will try to keep my eye on the clock. This will be a challenge because typically I preach 45, 60, 75, 90 minutes. I preach the same thing about three times so that those who fell asleep, when they wake up, they can still hear the message. I'll try to keep my voice down because I know some of you are working on assignments and I don't want to be a distraction. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, bless your word. May something be said during this sermon that plants a seed in somebody's heart. May that seed grow up to your glory and to your honor. We give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to spend the preaching time today on the subject, laid-back words, fully engaged lifestyles. Laid-back words, fully engaged lifestyles. Our scripture comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4. At verse 6, we find these words. For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. I hope today that I'll be able to persuade you all the more to imitate Paul as he imitates Christ, to follow Paul's example as Paul followed the example of Christ. The Apostle Paul, in this scripture that we're looking at today, is in the winter season of his life. Spring, summer, fall seasons of his life are all gone. Life for Paul seems empty of many of the outward forms of recognition to which he had become accustomed. The crowds are gone. The entourage is gone. His favorite coat is missing. The scrolls and the parchment are somewhere else. Paul's movements are restricted. Much of what remains is reminiscence, recollection, recall, and remembrance. In this scripture, Paul seems lonely and in some ways disconnected from his posse. We Christians have some real opportunities to minister to the lonely and to those who are disconnected socially and physically, financially, and emotionally. At the church where I serve, we have a policy that we describe as no saints left behind. We try to reconnect the disconnected. Time and circumstance have a way of weakening some of the ties that bind us to our groups. Classmates go in different directions, romantic relationships end, jobs end. Financial investments don't provide the return of our capital, let alone returns on our capital. Friends leave the room. Our environment becomes quiet and still. And it's in such a setting as that that the Apostle Paul, a true hero of the faith, gives us a glimpse, a special glimpse into his glory days. He says, I have fought. Paul affirms fighting. Fighting requires the expenditure of all of our energies. Fighting requires concentration. Fighting utilizes force. Fighting recognizes that there are obstacles and catastrophes and dangers that must be overcome. We are locked up in this room together today because we are the society of the fighters. You don't get to be a student at Union without having some fight in you. Certainly don't get to be faculty or staff at Union without having some fight in you. But we who are under the sign of the cross, we fight funny. Someone strikes us on one cheek, we turn the other. Someone sues us for our tunic, we give her our cloak as well. Someone forces us to go 1 mile, we go two. You see, the weapons with which we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have power to demolish strongholds. Because we understand at a place deep down within us that our struggle, our fight, our competition is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. Therefore, we are commanded to put on the full armor of God so that when the fight comes, we're able to stand our ground. Those who refuse to fight are impediments to reaching the goals of the kingdom enterprise. Paul says, I have fought. He affirms fighting. But Paul goes on to say, I have fought the good fight. Not just any fight, but I have fought the good fight. And he says that cryptically. He says that as though it's code, because he doesn't give us a lot of information there about what is the good fight. But he does raise the notion that there are some fights that are not good fights. And so we have to have within ourselves some measure by which we filter those fights that we're supposed to engage in, and we filter out those fights that are not ours. I cannot stand here today and give you a recipe for that, but I can stand here and give you some non-negotiables, things about which you must always fight. You must always fight for Jesus. When Jesus shows up, you have to be on his side. You must look for opportunities to fight for Jesus. And let me give you some information that I found in Scripture. Sometimes Jesus shows up as the hungry. And when he does, you must provide food and you must fight for his right to have food. Give him something to eat if he shows up as the hungry. Sometimes he shows up as a stranger. If he shows up as a stranger, invite him in to your house. Always fight for Jesus. That's a non-negotiable. Sometimes he shows up as somebody wearing tattered clothing. Provide him with a set of clothes. Sometimes Jesus shows up as a sick person. Look after him. Sometimes Jesus shows up as a prisoner, sometimes in jail, sometimes a prisoner of other circumstances. Visit him, attend to him, and support institutions whose mission it is to carry out these functions. There may be other fights that you can omit, but right at the core are non-negotiables for which you must always fight. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. There's another word in this pericope, and that word is finishing. Paul says, I have finished the race. I finished it. I grew up over in Covington, Tennessee, right across the field. And there was a teacher in my eighth grade who knew all of the poems in the world. And she would recite them in class. And I remember one of those poems. If a job is once begun, never leave it till it's done. Be it great or be it small. Do it well or not at all. Paul affirms finishing. It's so easy to begin something, but it takes discipline to finish. Paul says, I've finished the race. Racing takes place on a course. And if you are going to finish the race, you need to stay on course. You need to stay on course in summertime and wintertime, in good times and bad times. You need to stay on course whether you are alone or with others. You need to stay on course in good health and poor health in all circumstances. You need to keep running the race. Political leaders will change. The Dow Jones Industrials average will go up and down. Some friendships will end prematurely. Some brooks will dry up. Keep running the race. Songwriter said, I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I heard the voice of Jesus telling me to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Keep running. You are not running alone. Paul says, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Faith keeping is so important. It's a laid back word that tells us we have to have an engaging lifestyle. The Holy Spirit has deposited something precious in each and every one of us. And we're told that we have to keep it. By the truth, the writer of Proverbs tells us. By the truth and don't sell it. Get wisdom, get discipline, get understanding. Hear the word of God. Obey the word of God. Keep the faith. The Greeks and their Olympics have a race that's unique. The winner was not the winner who finished the race first. The winner was the runner who finished the race with his torch still lit. Keep the faith. Don't let the torch of your faith go out. Keep it in your studies. Keep it in your relationships with your fellow students. Keep it as you date. Keep it in your marriage. Keep the faith. Keep it on the job. Keep it when you are an employer. Keep the faith. Don't let the light of your faith ever go out. Paul talks about fighting, finishing, faith keeping. And finally, he talks about the file and the future. He looks into his file. He looks into the history of his life. And he says, I am being poured out like a drink offering. I am not in control of my life. I am operating under the sign of the cross. I am operating with my spirit attuned to God's spirit. I'm operating with my eyes toward heaven. I'm being poured out as a drink offering. Not as the burnt offering, not as the main offering, but as a drink offering. I'm not in control. I lost control on the Damascus Road. It was on that road that Paul fell in love with Jesus. And I urge you to fall in love with Jesus. We had a singer who came to our church this past Sunday who sang that song that was written by Kirk Whalum over in Memphis, Tennessee, falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I ever, ever did. In his arms I feel protected. In his arms never disconnected. In his arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing that I ever did. Paul looks into his file and he sees that he has fallen in love with Jesus and he's lived out the vows of his life. What is there in his future? There is in his future a crown of righteousness. He goes from libation to being lifted up. He has offered himself, and himself has been poured out as a drink offering, and at the end, he gets lifted up to get his crown of righteousness. There is, over at the church where I serve and in the community where I serve, a little song that says, "Some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away to that home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away." It is the prospect of being lifted up to receive his crown of righteousness that keeps him on track and that will keep us on track. It's the good news that we'll fly away. Just a few more weary days, and then those of us who are in Christ will fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. Paul tells us how to live the good life, how to live the successful life, how to live the effective life. We must fight. It's not going to be easy, but it's worth it. Then after we fight, we must finish. We must keep the faith. We must be poured out as a drink offering in order to be lifted up to receive our crown of righteousness. Let's pray. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have left it here for us to look into. And as we look into your word looks into us. Your word shows us where we are off track, where we have defects, where we have shortcomings, where we have missed the mark. Help us to have the courage to change our lives, to bring our lives in line with your word. We pray today that the word that we have heard will take root in our lives and grow up to your glory and to your honor. In the name of Jesus, we ask it all. And all the saints of God said, amen, amen.